May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We continue in our preparation for the Feast of the Visitation, looking at the Gospel text of St. Luke. And even the Gospel text from today certainly bears on the mystery of the Visitation. We have Jesus saying, because he, the Spirit of Truth, will take from what is mine and declare it to you. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is this singular spouse of the Holy Spirit. And in the Visitation, she is taking from in her own womb, the Word made flesh, and declaring it to another, declaring it to St. Elizabeth, and consequently to St. John the Baptist in her womb. There's some beautiful symbolic imagery in the figures that are involved, certainly, and in the places that are involved in the Visitation. So this morning, looking at, again, kind of getting more deeply into the text, Luke 1:40 and Luke 1:55, again, kind of going from the top of the deck, the bottom of the deck, and seeing some parallel occurrences with the vocabulary and also with the themes therein. We noted yesterday that the rising up of Mary coincides with the rising up of the ark, right? Psalm 132, rise up, O Lord, you and the ark of your strength, and that this ark of the covenant is the Blessed Virgin Mary. If we look at that word even more deeply in sacred scripture, we notice that in a more broad sense, it is in fact related to covenant. Oftentimes we hear, I will raise up, or I will establish my covenant with you. And this morning, taking a look at that covenantal theology in terms of the Visitation, because that's what's going on here, that there is a sign of this new covenant, and that sign is the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's consequently, you go to the book of the Apocalypse 12, and the great sign that appears in the sky is a woman, the woman. And consequently, in Franciscan theology, the fall of Lucifer, at that, the stumbling block that was for him and all his minions, the fallen angels, who would not obey, who would not, in fact, honor that sign of the woman with child. And so, as Mother Mary rises up and goes with haste to the hill country, she enters the house of Zechariah, which again, yesterday we say is this. Zechariah means the Lord has remembered. And now in the following verse, verse 40, she greets Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth also has a significance as a name, because that name actually means God, Eli, right? God, Elohim, and Sheba, which is seven, as in 2-7. You might remember Dr. Hahn's covenant theology of to seven oneself is actually to make a covenant. It's very similar, just in the characters themselves in the Hebrew, it's the same thing as to make an oath. And it's whether or not you put an E or an A in there, which is not in the scripture itself, but later it was added. And so God of the oath. So she greets in this house of remembering a woman whose name recalls the covenantal promises of the Lord, God of the oath, God of the seven, God of the covenant. And that's significant insofar as we look at Ezekiel 16, verses 60 through 62. It's a beautiful verse that has everything to do with what we're looking at this morning. And I will remember, the Lord God says, my covenant with you in the days of your infancy, and I will establish to you an everlasting covenant. Further on, and I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And that remembering in the Hebrew is zakar. It is like Zechariah. And that covenant, we already said, is reminiscent of the name Elizabeth, God of the seven. That establishing of the covenant is what Mother Mary does in this rising up, this anisteme, this rising up of Mother Mary. It's all kind of encapsulated right here. And ironically, in the days of your infancy, it's now in the days of the infancy of the Christ, who, as Israel, was just a child, even kind of in the, in the interior of Abraham, and the promise of his all generations being blessed in him. So now, too, the Christ who becomes little for our sake, fulfilling that as an infant, and not even as an infant, as within the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So what we have here is the formation of the covenant, and it's significant also because if we pair it up kind of with the bottom of the deck of the account, it pairs up with, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. And so what we got going on here in the visitation is the word of promise of the new covenant, which fulfills the word of promise of the old covenant. And the remembering that's affected and the establishing that's affected and the covenant that's affected is all through not only the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but through her greeting, which is very, very important to ponder, because God recreates from within his creation. And that happens even in our day, which is a very important spiritual notion to get into, that when we love another, we give meaning to their existence. And when we help to give meaning to another's existence, we love another. And the coincidence of the two. And consequently, there's a recreation that's ongoing. And it has everything to do with our adherence and our consecration of the Blessed Virgin Mary and bringing Christ. Remember the missionary aspect of the visitation. Bringing Christ, bringing Christ, bringing Christ. And more that we allow the mystery of Mary to unfold in our lives. These are great mysteries, and they have everything to do with the mystery of justification, which is such a linchpin in dialogue with our Protestant brethren, who are in a state, a gravely deficient state, because not in the fullness of the faith, not having the capacity at the moment to receive the Holy Eucharist because of that lack of faith. Faith which comes through hearing, which is later on in the account of the visitation. At the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped, which has always been understood as this sanctification, the pre-sanctification of St. John the Baptist in the womb. Consequently, his justification. And this is a mystery that ongoes as well with bringing faith to others. The water welling up to eternal life in John 4:14 from within the human heart. That happens. It's almost like this word Beersheba, which means the well of the oath. Remember that Sheba, it means oath. And this Beersheba is this well of the oath where Abraham actually offered 7 ewe lambs to Abimelech as a sign of covenant. That well of the oath is drawn forth with the presence of Mary, and that living water can spring up into another heart. And just last point would be this, that as Mother Mary, in accepting, in assenting to, consenting to the message of the Archangel Gabriel at the Annunciation, I'm not sure if the exact terms are going to be all that accurate, but like the efficient cause of our salvation. In this, the visitation, is insofar as she accepts, right, she's a sine qua non at the Annunciation, without which there is no salvation. Without her yes, God chose her to be necessary for our salvation. And so in this sense, she's the universal mediatrix. Everything is contingent upon her. In the visitation, we see that she's the universal dispensatrix, or the mediation outgoing of grace. And here we want to tie it into the theology of the Council of Trent and that unique formal cause that the Council of Trent points out to. I think we have a scriptural basis for it right in the visitation, where a sine qua non, that faith, that saving faith that enters into St. John the Baptist, without which there is no rectification. There's no rectification of fallen nature. And Our Lady is, which is so ironic, of course, because our Protestant brethren, who are very so strong in emphasizing faith and necessary for salvation, it's not happening without her. And even within her, right? This is, again, the first reading. From one, he created the whole human race. From one, he recreated the whole human race. And that one is the Blessed Virgin Mary, who carries the Theotokos, who carries God. And this is a great mystery and a great source of rejoicing for us as well, entering into this mystery. So the principal thing we latch on this morning is that loving gives meaning.